This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We also have Young Don. We wish
Who's
good
guy?
For him.
Who's this guy?
He's
What's the other guy's name?
Sneeko. In it, she reads the part where it says,
Jesus is God. How can you learn more and more about himself?
Uthman ibn Farooq's top 10 reasons why Jesus is not God. Or
Jesus said, me and the Father are one. Okay. But then he also told the disciples that me, the Father, and all of you are one.
He's trying to psych himself up.
That's exactly why he couldn't be God, because
he was sent for Andrew Tate.
Yes.
Sneeko and Young Don Boy.
And for everybody else.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. Welcome to the Deen Show. Exciting episode with an exciting guest, an exciting topic. And you got to guess who's in the Deen Show studio. My brother, your brother, Sheikh Uthman bin Farooq. How you doing?
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How you been? How you doing?
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Loving it, man. Spending some time here in Chicago, seeing you and working on the Deen Center, inshallah. A great project. I'm really excited. We ask Allah to accept it and increase it.
We've been told that they're out to kill us all.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. We went to the streets to ask Americans about Islam. Here's what they said. Do you know anything about Islam?
No.
Do you know anything about Islam?
No, sadly.
Do you know anything about Islam?
Not really.
Do you know anything about Islam?
No, sorry.
You know what Islam means?
Islam? No. We've been told that they're out to kill us all.
That's what you've been told, that Muslims are out to kill you all?
Well, that's what they say on TV.
Anything.
I know it's in the Middle East, isn't it?
Well, then you're going to have four wives.
Brothers and sisters, as you can see, there are so many Americans who don't know about Islam. We need your help to change that. Help us to build the Deen Center, the first mega dawah center in America. We have $500,000 left, and we need your help to finish. Click to donate right now. May God Almighty Allah reward all of you. Ameen, ameen. Thank you so much. And I said, exciting topic that we're going to be talking about. I just want to give a little bit of a background, because you have a very intriguing, very touching story of how you actually came to where you're at today. And just in a nutshell, before we get into the individual that we're going to be talking about, Jesus, peace be upon him.
Peace and blessings
be upon him. People want to know, like, why is this Muslim talking about Jesus? But you are someone who was going to the church at one point, you know, knowing more than the pastor, you know, because you were asking questions they couldn't answer. And you got very, almost to a point of that, I think you could have been the pastor at the church.
You know, it's funny because growing up, I didn't go to the masjid. I didn't know Muslims. All my friends were either Catholic or Christian or some denomination of Christianity. And I used to go to church with them. I've been to every single type of church you can imagine, from Kingdom Halls to any Catholic churches, Southern Baptist churches. And I used to actually pay attention. I used to love to learn. And the Bible that you see with me in a lot of the da'wah videos, the brown covered one, I've had that since that time. So people think that I went to the Bible just to debate, but that's not true. I wanted to learn. But I found a lot of things that didn't make sense or things that didn't fit. And I would ask the pastors. And I went through the whole Bible, cover to cover. I mean, I've got highlights throughout thing. I took notes into it. I put stickies. And the pastors many times would get upset because they wouldn't know. And they would, instead of giving me an answer, they would just kick me out. So I've been kicked out of a lot of churches. But I kept going back to different churches and learning because I always wanted to know the truth. So I've done a good amount of studies in the Bible, yes.
Now, there was an interesting story that you shared with me. Was it a preacher, pastor, someone in the church, older man who was someone who saw some of your work and some of your dialogues that you've had, and then you gave some evidence from the Bible? Mm-hmm. And again, this is not to go ahead and put down any religion or to, you know, we love Jesus. I mean, that's a fact.
Yes.
You know, and this is, we want good for humanity. So this is not like, hey, we got one on you. We're trying to, you know, put anybody down or anything, but we're just trying to relay, you know, a simple, clear message, that the same message that Jesus spoke and brought to the people based on evidence and proof. So now you did that, and this, what was he, a pastor?
He was a pastor.
He saw this and what happened?
Alhamdulillah, he's somebody 50 plus years in the church.
50 plus years in the church. Pastor. Pastor, 50 plus years in the church.
Yes, he taught the Bible.
Gets a hold of one of your videos.
Yeah, he is, I think he's around 70 something years of age, and he got a hold of some of the videos. And per his message that I was showing you, at first he didn't like it. Because, you know, sometimes when we educate people and they come from a mindset, they take it as a shock. And especially if we have any Christians watching, I want them to understand that we come from a place of love. We want guidance for everybody. We want good for everybody. And just as Jesus brought the message of the one Creator who sent Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him. And we love Jesus so much that you will notice that even when me or you mention his name, we send peace and blessings be upon him. You'll see, for example, some people, like we had a gentleman from Israel that came to our table recently, and you can see the video. And we asked him, what do you think about Jesus and Christians? And he called Christianity a cult, and he called Jesus very inappropriate names as the faith that he follows believes. But we as Muslims, we love Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him. We believe he was a person who brought the truth. We believe he was born miraculously. We believe that Mary was a virgin. This was a miraculous birth. This is our belief. And our belief, as many historians have said, is closer to the true original followers of Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, their belief than Christians today. And I encourage other people to research. For example, there's Dr. Bart Ehrman, who is an atheist today, or agnostic atheist, but he is one of the top authorities. He was a Christian on the Bible and the history of the Bible and early Christian traditions. And I have a video from him where he talks about this. He says the early Christian followers of Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, that were around him, did not consider him God. They took him to be a prophet, somebody who brought a message, but did not worship him as a God. Until the Council of Nicaea, this was not standardized. There were those before the Council of Nicaea that took this view, and there were others. There's a group called the Arians, nothing to do with the race. It's actually a Christian group. And others who did not consider Jesus to be a God or the Son of God.
This is part of the history.
This is part of history.
This is all there.
And there are
documented
books that
Muslims
have been written.
We're not making this up.
No. As I said, Dr. Bart Ehrman is not a Muslim. We don't claim he's a Muslim. And others, not just him, that have talked about this.
So it's kind of like when you get that injection, that shot, that's supposed to be of some type of medicine. It's a sudden jolt.
Yeah.
That kind of jolts you. So this is a jolt of truth.
Yes.
Right? But if you let it sink in, let it do its process.
Right.
Think about it, you know, pray to God Almighty alone. Mm-hmm. And like many have, like this person, didn't this pastor end up accepting Islam?
Alhamdulillah, he accepted Islam. His wife is still a Christian.
He accepted Islam. Did he become an Arab?
He's an American. In fact, neither one of us is Arab either. You know, Islam has nothing to do with any ethnicity. Obviously, the majority of the Muslim world is not Arab. I think around 14% is Arab, but the rest of the 86% is non-Arabs. The largest Muslim country population-wise is Indonesia. And alhamdulillah, in America, us who are Americans as well, we are Muslim as in America. We have no ties to any ethnicity. He is a Muslim today, that pastor, and not just him. We've had many. If you watch the One Message Foundation channel, you will see different pastors and preachers who watched our videos, who came out and they approached us, and many of them accepted Islam. Yeah. We've even had conversations with Unitarian Christians who till today do not believe in a Trinity. This is till today a Christian segment that's out there. So we want our Christian viewers to know that this narrative of the Trinity and Jesus being God and also the Son of God and maybe God and the Son, this has not been the narrative of Christianity throughout history. This is something that was invented. A lot of pagan ideas, God and Zeus and Hercules and all this stuff, has been brought into Christianity. Mm-hmm. Eddie, I'm gonna drop a truth bomb here. Right,
another injection.
If you're a Christian and you're watching, I want to ask you a question, and this is a rhetorical question. I want you to ask yourself: do you celebrate Christmas? Where do you think Christmas came from? You think it's in the Bible? Do you think the 25th of December is in the Bible? You think Santa Claus and reindeer and eggnog and these Christmas trees? If you read your Bible, there's actually verses that condemn putting gold on trees and this type of practice. These are pagan festivals. Saturnalia was a pagan idol-worshipping festival that was brought into Christianity. I challenge our Christian viewers to research this on your own. This is a want for you to know the truth. On your own, Google it. Look it up.
Are you trying to show them you're better than them?
I am not. Are you trying to condemn somebody? You know, I'm not condemning anybody. I'm not saying I'm better. I'm not saying I'm more knowledgeable. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying I believe that there's a lot of sincere Christians who want to know the truth, who want to believe in God as they should. And I want them to open their mind and read and look this up on their own. Nothing to do with me, not for a debate, not for viewers, nothing of that. And see that your churches have been promoting Christmas, a pagan festival. In every household, they have these festivals in churches. There are churches next to my house, they have Christmas trees, they light these lights up. When this has nothing to do with Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him. And then think to yourself, what other pagan traditions have been brought into the religion that you think is the religion of Jesus?
That's one example. Peace and blessings be upon him. You can go on and give him more and more, huh?
We can go on. I mean, look at Easter and the bunny and the eggs and where these things came from.
I want to get into Jesus, peace be upon him, who we love. And you can't be a Muslim. You can actually get yourself a free one-way ticket to the hellfire as a Muslim if you deny Jesus. Is that correct?
That is true.
Now tell me, before I get into what I really want to talk about, Jesus, who's beloved to almost 2 billion Muslims in the world today, if you were, because they're hearing these words, Islam, Muslim, but if you were to do like a taste test, right, and you were putting a label on it, and you were just to blindfold someone and say, taste this, taste this. But if you're putting certain labels on it, then even while someone's tasting it, if they attribute in their mind something negative to it, then they might even forget about how good it tastes.
That is true.
So do you see that now when people, because there's so much garbage thrown out there, so many lies and deception on this term Muslim. So a lot of times if you just define the word, you didn't even say Muslim, but you would define it, Muslim. You define it, and then you define what a Christian is or a Hindu. Do you think any God-conscious person would pick this definition that is what you and me are and what we're inviting them to, Islam and to be a Muslim, you know, to be one who is submitted to the will of God?
Of course, a Muslim comes from the word aslama, that is the root word for it, which is to submit. A Muslim is the one who does that. They submit their will to their creator. And that's why we believe Jesus was a Muslim by the definition of the word. We believe Abraham, Moses, all the way from Adam to the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon all of them, were Muslims. They all did the will of the Creator. They submitted themselves. In fact, even if Christians read the Bible, you will find that Jesus says that it's not my will, it's the will of my Father, the Lord.
But if a Christian says, well, that's what a Christian is.
Excellent. So if you look at the word Christian, look at the definition. It means the followers of Christ. And before Jesus Christ, there was no word Christian. There were no Christians. Because by definition, they could not be. Without Christ, how would you have Christians? But the word Muslim is not tied to the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. Rather, the word Muslim is aslama. In the Quran, in the holy book of Islam, you will find Abraham, peace and blessings be upon him, talking about them being Muslim. So we believe, and we can prove through the definition of the word, that all of the earlier prophets were Muslim. But if you take the word Christian, you cannot say that Moses was a Christian. There was no Christ.
So you cannot link that definition, one who submits consciously to the creator of the heavens and earth, alone without any partners, associated to God's will. Mm-hmm. You cannot link that to any other religion or any other word.
Exactly. If you look at Judaism, you cannot. And if you look at Judaism, come from the word Judah. Before Judah, there's no Judaism. If you look at Christianity, it comes from the word Christ. Even if you look at other philosophies like Shintoism or if you look at Confucianism, comes from Confucius. Before Confucius, there's not Buddhism. From Buddha. Before Buddha, there's no Buddhism. But Islam has been that true religion since the time of Adam, peace and blessings be upon him, till the Day of Judgment. That one message. And if you look at the Ten Commandments, you will find that as the religion of Islam. Hear, O Israel, your Lord is one. What do we say in Islam? قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. That Allah is one. Same message that was brought by Abraham, Moses, Jesus, Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon all of them. We as Muslims love all the prophets. You will never see a Muslim disrespect any of them. You never see a Muslim make a cartoon of the Prophet Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, or to mock him. Even when other Christians and atheists and others, they mock the Prophet Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, we as Muslims condemn that. You've never ever seen, have you, Eddie, a Muslim making a caricature of Jesus to mock Jesus?
Never,
peace and blessings
never,
be upon
never,
him.
Never.
We as Muslims, the Quran tells us, we make no differentiation between the prophets. We believe in all of them equally. So if me as a Muslim, if I didn't believe in Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, as a true prophet of God, I would no longer be a Muslim.
That's deep. It's easy to understand. Simple. And hopefully that truth injection, you know,
wake
some people up. All right, so let's get into this. Do you think you can come up? We've done this before. Do you think we can come up with Sheikh Uthman ibn Farooq's top 10 reasons why Jesus is not God or the Son of God? Do you think
we'll give it a shot? Prep work here. We haven't prepared this.
Okay.
So this is going to be all off the cuff.
Where would
live.
You start with if we went from number 10 and you're talking to our sincere?
Sure.
You know, our neighbors out there, people who we have love for, because Prophet Muhammad, is it correct? He said, God Almighty, Allah is saying that he was sent as a mercy to all mankind.
Yes. Allah sent the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, as a rahmah, a mercy lil alameen, for all of mankind, for all of the creation, not just a mercy for the Muslims. And that's why we say that the message of Islam is for everybody. It's not for Arabs only. It's not for Pakistanis or Indonesians or Malaysians or Saudis. This is for everybody. We do not say any race is superior to another. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, told us that the Arab and the non-Arab, the white, the black, they're all equal. None are better than the other, except whoever has more piety, whoever has more God consciousness, then because of their good characteristics, they can raise the ranks. But race has nothing to do with it.
So this is very straightforward, very clear. We're going to get into now, because some people are on the fence. Many people are confused. They're like, okay, God the Father, Jesus, Holy Ghost, and here come the Muslims saying only one God, pray to the God of, that Jesus prayed to. Mm-hmm. And now let's get some clarity here. Let's start
let's
with number 10, and we'll go work our way down.
Number 10. From my own study, and I have in my personal library, I have a section that has Bibles, Christian literature, MacArthur Study Bible, for example, and so on. And I have a section that has books that have to do with Judaism and the study of the Old Testament, according to Jewish scholars. And in that, I have never found any mention of Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, explicitly before his time. Meaning, if you look at the Old Testament, and yes, there are Christians that will try to make references into things in the Old Testament, but those earlier scholars before the time of Jesus, the commentaries that have been orally written and then orally preserved and then written by Jewish scholars, have never found any reference to Jesus before his time, peace and blessings be upon him. So if he was God, if God was a Trinity, if God was not one, then we would have found a reference explicitly to the Trinity in the old documents, and we do not. We find instead an emphasis on the monotheism, only one God, not three in one, not two in one, just one God. We find no explicit statement about Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, in the Old Testament. Now you can say God had his word, and that but then again, all the biblical scholars of the past, Jewish scholars, explained that this is not a reference to Jesus. So if Jesus was God, then he would have always been God. God doesn't become God at a certain time. So number 10 is no reference to Jesus before his time.
Okay, let's go on to number 9.
Number 9. I don't believe God is born out of the womb of a woman. If you look at the greatness of God, and if you look at the might and glory of God, to me, and again, this is my own opinion, I don't see that this is befitting the creator of the universe, the ever-living, everlasting, all-knowing God, that he breastfeeds, you know, or, you know, pees on himself as a child would. Again, you can't have a square circle, right, Eddie? I really want our
Christian... You can't have a tall, short man.
I mean, let me just use this example, and I want our viewers who are Christians to understand, we're saying this as out of love for you, for to guide, to be a means that you wake yourself up and just think through this. This is not a debate. This is not to put anybody down. Just take a moment, pause the video if you want, and just contemplate this. Can you have a square circle? By definition, if it has corners, it cannot be a circle. And if it has no edges, it cannot be a square. We don't say that God can't do things. God can do anything. But when you have something by definition that doesn't match, it just can't be.
Infinite and finite.
Exactly. Right?
Two totally different.
So if, according to the Bible itself, and you can look up your Bible, I mean, I didn't prepare verses here, but you can look it up. God is a knower of everything.
Yeah.
And God is all capable, and all God can is all powerful. You cannot be all capable, all powerful, all knowing,
and incapable, and unknowing.
Then learn the Bible. Yeah. You know, there is a little video of a little girl, Christian household, and she's reading a little Christian book, and she says, you know, in it she reads the part where it says,
Jesus is God. How can you learn more and more about Himself? Because Jesus is God.
Jesus learned about God.
And that's a little girl.
That's a little girl. Maybe you can add the clip.
Yeah.
And that's amazing.
Perfect. This is called her
natural state.
Nature's question.
Exactly.
It's a great question.
So how can you learn more and more about himself? Because it said Jesus grew up. He learned more and more about God, his father.
Well,
exactly. She, as a little child, understood that if he was God, then how would he learn about himself? Yeah. He wouldn't know himself. He wouldn't need to read about himself, right? So to me, to say that if a child is born not knowing anything, if that child urinates on himself, what children do? I've got children. I have no issue with, you know, understanding that those are things that naturally children, they breastfeed, they go through, you know, diarrhea, all this thing. But that is not something that I can attribute to the almighty creator of the universe.
Yeah, that's, I mean, square circle, you can go on with this, all powerful, powerless, you know, these are opposites. You can't be at the same time.
Exactly.
Number eight.
When I look at the Bible, and I've studied the Bible cover to cover with different types of Christians, I see that Jesus prayed to the Father, right? And I'm going to make this two different ones. One is that he supplicated, meaning he was asking of the Father. So if Jesus was God, and according to Christians that I have spoken, while on earth he was fully God, they claim that they were co-equal, meaning him and the Father are equal, and they are, and he is fully God, then why would God be asking of somebody else?
Why is he praying himself?
Exactly.
Why is he talking to himself?
And we never find the Father praying to Jesus.
What if we someone says he's trying to psych himself up?
That's exactly why he couldn't be God, because God doesn't need to psych himself up. Right? So when you look at his supplications, like, oh, you know, Father, take this bowl away from me, why have you forsaken me, and so on and so on, him supplicating to the Father, it obviously shows that he was in need of the Father. And that would mean that he is not God.
Beautiful. I mean, this is just common sense.
It is.
It doesn't take a lot of mental gymnastics where you got to, you know,
it's
go
very
around
simple.
Your mind, trying to, your mind spinning, trying to make it simple. You're
and
saying.
It's something that as Christians, as atheists, as agnostics, as whatever background you may be, it will feel right in your heart to say that God doesn't pray to a co-equal God. If that was true, then the Father should also pray to Jesus. Then the Holy Ghost should pray to Jesus. I don't even know where the Holy Ghost is in this picture. I mean, you look at, usually it's not even mentioned in a lot of the verses. And I'm going to go to the next one. What number are we on now?
We're on seven.
Seven.
So we're going through this pretty quick.
Number seven is that Jesus put his forehead on the ground. He fell on his face praying to God. To the Father, according to their Bible. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're a Christian and you read this verse, think it through. First thing I want you to think about is, who do you see praying like Jesus today, putting their forehead on the ground?
Take a look. Just type in online,
Muslims praying.
Right?
You will see Muslims praying as your Bible, which you have a claim to, shows that Jesus prayed that way. He fell on his face. He put his face on the ground and he prayed. And in your own Bible, if you go in the Old Testament, you will also find Moses and Abraham and other, peace and blessings be upon all the prophets, praying in that way. I have been to many different churches and I have seen everything from singing choirs and hallelujah and jumping up and down and speaking in tongues. I have yet to see a Christian congregation regularly pray in the way that Jesus prayed.
I've had some Christians tell me that there's a certain sect of Christians that pray this way.
I keep hearing that.
You've heard that, right?
But I've never seen this sect.
Never seen it, yeah.
And why is not every sect praying like that, yeah, if that's what the Bible says Jesus did? Mm-hmm. So I don't believe that God puts his head on the ground and prays to God, right? The earlier one was supplicating. Here it's praying. Mm. So when you see Jesus praying to the Father, as he's referenced in your Bible, then obviously the Father or God here is the one that deserves to be worshipped, and Jesus worships him. I don't believe God worships God. That doesn't make any sense. Does that make sense to you,
Absolutely
Eddie?
Absolutely not. If you're honest with yourself and you're sincere, you would say the truth, and the truth set you free. So tell
exactly
the truth to yourself. That's the worst, when you do kufr, lie, you know, and cover up the truth. So we're going through this quickly, fairly quickly. Let's get through them all. Six.
Number six. In the Bible, we find the devil, Satan, tempts Jesus. I don't believe God gets tempted. Humans get tempted, yes. Even pious people get tempted. Righteous people get tempted because humans have that weakness. You know, خُلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ الضَّعِيفَ خُلَقَ الْإِنسَانُ in the Quran, that Allah created insana da'ifa, in the state of weakness. Humans have weaknesses. We get tempted. We have desires. We have shortcomings. That is true. God, the Almighty, the creator of the universe, does not get tempted. God cannot be tempted by Satan. And if Christians were to come back and say that at that time he was in his human form, then we would say that if you say that, that means he was no longer God. Can't have a square circle. Mm-hmm. Either you can be tempted or you cannot be tempted.
You can't be both. You can't be both. You can't make God into like a Superman.
Yeah.
It's like he's God.
He's got a switch, turns it on and off. Or
yeah. Number five.
Number five. We're getting to the fun ones now. If we look at the Bible and the narrative that Christians put forward, Jesus is killed. And we as Muslims do not believe that the Prophet Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, was killed. But this is what Christians say. Then I would say that cannot be God, because God cannot be killed. He is all living, ever living. If you could kill God, and just think about this, wouldn't you be more powerful than God? If you can overpower me, then obviously you're stronger than me. Mm-hmm. And if people killed God, look at what kind of a sin that would be. How could that be a means of forgiveness? I don't believe God can be killed. And I had a debate, you can watch the One Message Foundation channel, where in two sentences we finished the Christian debate. The first question was, is God ever living? Can he be killed? They said, no, God can't be killed. He's ever living. Second question was Jesus killed? They said, yes. So no, then Jesus can't be God. If he's ever living and cannot be killed, then Jesus couldn't be killed. And if you think Jesus was killed, if that's the Christian doctrine, then it contradicts what they just said. He cannot be killed. And if the idea is that he was killed, but he was going to come back to life anyway, then where's the sacrifice? You know, if I knew that, there's like a movie, if I kill you, you're going to come back in the next episode, you're not really sacrificing anything then, right? So that doctrine doesn't make sense to me. I don't believe God can be killed.
Makes no sense. Who's running the world? You can just go on with this, you know what I mean?
Right.
And it goes back into infinite, finite. You can just unpackage this, you know, and just keep running with it. Let's go to number four.
Number four. If we look at the biblical narrative of Jesus, we find that Jesus was betrayed. And when he was betrayed and taken by the Romans, he requested God to take that away from him. Oh God, to the Father, to take this bowl away from him. He wanted to be freed from that punishment. And even on the cross, according to Christians, he asked God, or the Creator, the Father, according to biblical terminology, that why have you forsaken me? You know, he wanted to be taken off the cross. He wanted to be taken off. So that tells me, even in what they present as Christians, that could not be God. If the idea is that Jesus came to this world to be killed, if that was the plan, then why would he want that punishment taken away? Then that was the plan. Then he should have been like, hey, God, you haven't forsaken me. This is the plan. And if he's telling God, if you've forsaken me. Yeah,
if right, that's his mission.
If that's his mission.
Why is he questioning the mission now?
Exactly. So if the mission was to be crucified for the sins of mankind, then that's the plan. Then he should have been happy with it.
His statement contradicts that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if he's asking for this to be taken away from him, if he doesn't want this, and if he was God, then he could do it himself too. He could walk away from it. But the fact that he was against this moving in that direction shows to me that according to the Christian narrative, he could not be God.
Mm-hmm. Where that was number...
four, right?
That was number four. So we got three left.
Three left.
Here we go.
All right.
Let's go number three.
Number three. I believe that God is one. And if you look at the Old Testament, if you look at the earlier scriptures, and even if you look at the New Testament, and you look at all of the references towards the Ten Commandments, we find a reference to one God. Now, some Christians may come back with some ambiguous verses, right? They may come back and say, Jesus said, me and the Father are one. Okay, but then he also told the disciples that me, the Father, and all of you are one. Right? The same Bible that the Christians put. So if they were to take that means Jesus is a part of God, then that would mean the disciples are all God. For example, me and you, Eddie, we might say we're one nation. Like, you know, we say one nation under God, for example. Does that mean me and you are the same?
No.
Or does that mean me and you are on the same page? We're doing the same mission.
Page,
right? We as a country, we share some values. We have the Constitution. We have these things. So we say we're one nation. But that doesn't mean we're the same people. You're an individual, I'm an individual. You have your own characteristics, I have my own. You have your own shortcomings and good qualities, I have my own. So when you look at God here, and you have no explicit verse in the Bible, Old Testament or New Testament, where Jesus clearly says, I am God. Rather, every time God is mentioned in the Old Testament or the New Testament, you see a reference to Jesus saying that the one only God, that there is one God. So that means it cannot be three. You cannot say the Father is God and Jesus is God and the Holy Ghost is God and the Father knew everything and Jesus was on earth and Holy Ghost was, I don't know, going around on top of people and all three are one and one is three. We don't find this in the Bible. And this is why even those verses, and I'm not going to get too technical here. You can watch some of our other channels, videos on the One Message Foundation, that reference that Trinitarians use have been shown to be fabrications that were put into the Bible later on in the 9th century. And the earlier manuscripts don't have those verses. So,
like, for example, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Son, and Word.
Exactly.
This is
a fabrication. If you look at, I have a Greek Bible that shows you references to earlier manuscripts, you will find in none of the early manuscripts you will find such a verse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Trinitarians have kind of brought this verse into the Bible, and Unitarian Christians will still today reject this verse. And many study Bibles will also point out that these were later additions.
Wow. This is it's just mind-blowing. But I'll comment more after we get past these two. Two more.
Excellent. Two more to go. The next one is going to be the fact that Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, himself referenced that there is only one true God. Jesus in the Bible himself says, so this is eternal life, that you may get to know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom you sent. In the Bible, according to Christians, and you can look up the verse, you find that Jesus says that there is only one true, mighty, almighty God, and that God sent Jesus. So now, if I say, Eddie, you are the boss, you are the one who runs this show, and you can order me to go to another city on your behalf and represent you or your show, right? That clearly shows that you're the boss, you're in run, you're the only one. And you are sending a separate entity to represent you. So when I find in the Bible that Jesus is saying that, that they may get to know you, the only true God, and then separates himself from that saying, and Jesus Christ, who you sent. That is very explicit to me that Jesus is not God.
The one being sent is not the sender.
Exactly. And anybody with an open mind and an open heart that looks at that verse will come to the conclusion.
Repeat that verse one more time.
Where Jesus Christ says that this is eternal life, that they may get to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent.
Sounds like Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu an Muhammadur Rasulullah or Isa Rasulullah.
Yes.
Right? So this is like saying the
testimony. This is like saying as a testimony of faith of the Muslims that we bear witness that there is only one worthy of worship. The only God worthy of worship is Allah. And the prophet of the time, you would pay testimony that he is a prophet sent by God. As today we would say, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, was a servant and messenger of God. And if me and you were in the time of Jesus, we would follow Jesus as the prophet of that time. That was the Muslims of that time.
This is what brings someone into the fold of Islam. This statement right there. Doesn't that resemble so much
it
the
does.
Statement?
It does.
What is this, John 17:3?
I don't know off the top of my head.
This is something that's so powerful because it sounds like the Shahada.
It does. Close.
Number one now. This is the number one reason why Jesus, peace be upon him, who we love and revere as one of the mightiest messengers. Again, you can get yourself, you can get a free ticket to the hellfire as a Muslim if you deny or disrespect Jesus or his mother.
Very true.
So now, clear, lucid, unambiguous proof that Jesus is not the literal God, Son of God.
I'm going to give it to you. And this one, I remember these verses really well. Even though we didn't prep for this, this is all off the hook. This is Deen Show Live.
Huh? Yeah.
The first is Matthew 21:19. And the next is Mark 13:32, I believe. I could be wrong, this is what I remember. Where Jesus does not know in Matthew 21:19, Jesus sees if he's hungry. First thing, how does God get hungry? But he sees a fig tree. And not knowing if there's fruit on it or not, he goes to the fig tree and he finds that there's no fruit on it, for it was not the season. And then he curses it. Well, the Bible tells us that God knows everything. And if Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, we love him, we respect him, we believe he was born of a miraculous birth, we believe he was a true prophet. But if he didn't know that knowledge, that means he cannot be God. You cannot know everything and not know. It's got to be one or the other, right? Square circle, remember that. And in Mark 13:32, I believe, where Jesus talks about the hour, and he said, nobody knows of the hour, not even the angels, nor the Son, but only the Father. And that's a very interesting verse. Because here, if Jesus had not clarified, according to the Christian Bible, nor the Son, they could have said, oh, yeah, but if he says the Father, then the Son is included. But this verse is very explicit. Mark 13:32, I believe, where he says, nobody knows the hour, the reckoning, when Jesus is going to come back, except he clarifies, not even the angels, nor the Son, only the Father. So if Jesus, according to the Christian Bible, peace and blessings be upon him, clearly states that nobody knows the hour, he doesn't know, nor the Son, he says, I don't know, only God knows, then that means Jesus could not be God. If Christians come back and say, hey, but he was on earth, and at that time he took a human form, okay, then he wasn't God. If he didn't have the quality of being all-knowing, and according to the Bible, God knows everything, and I believe, and you believe, and anybody with any sense would believe that God, the creator of universe, knows everything. At the moment that he doesn't know the hour, or he doesn't know the fig tree having fruit, he cannot be God. Mm-hmm. I am a firm believer that there is only one God, as Abraham, Moses, Jesus, Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon all the prophets, taught this message. That there is only one God, and that God sent prophets. He sent messengers to remind mankind out of his mercy for the guidance of mankind, and none of those prophets told their people to worship them. Rather, they call to the worship of the one creator. I believe Adam, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon all of them, were true messengers, righteous people who brought the message of the one great creator. And they did the will of that one great creator. They were all Muslims. They submitted themselves to their creator. I don't believe any of them were God. I don't believe Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, is God. I don't believe Jesus, peace and blessings upon him, are God. They all had miracles, different miracles. Moses split the sea. Abraham lived in fire, didn't get hurt. Jesus walked on water. Muhammad split the moon. Peace and blessings be upon all of them. But those were miracles granted by the Creator to show the people that these are true prophets.
After all this, someone listens to this. What do they need? Like someone like you were discussing something with, you were telling me about, there was some of these influencers, YouTube influencers, what's the name?
We have some discussions going on. We have Sneeko, and we're going to be...
What is it called? Sneeko?
Sneeko, yeah.
Who's Sneeko?
He is somebody who has a very strong following.
Yeah.
And he seems like a very open-minded person, and we're going to be having conversations with him. We're going to invite him to Islam, and we hope that he enters Islam.
So if someone like Sneeko watches this,
and
he sees the breakdown, I mean, this should clear up any doubt who Jesus is and who he isn't.
Andrew Tate as well.
Andrew
You've had a conversation with him.
Yeah.
I want to send my message to him, and I hope people can forward this video to him. You know, we are very open to discussing Islam with you. We don't force our religion on anybody. Islam is not something that is forced. It's something that comes from the heart. But we do want to spread the message to you. You know, think about what we have said. And if you're interested, reach out to me or to Eddie. And we'd love to be a means of you learning about the true message of Islam, the message of peace, the message of guidance, the message of that one creator, the same message, the one message that all the prophets brought. We also have Young Don. We wish
Who's
good
this
for him.
Who's this guy?
He's also somebody that has a social media presence.
What does they do? What do they do? Are they gamers? Or?
I think he does games. He does some, I don't know, videos. I don't watch a lot of social media personally. But I've had one conversation with him. And
how'd that go?
You know, we presented some of the fallacies of the Bible to Young Don, and he was unable to defend the Bible.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it seems like he's taken to a, you know, kind of becoming more Islamophobic than to learn.
Some people who, they get the injection, you know, of truth, and they get a little hostile sometimes.
Well,
why is that? You see that sometimes.
You know, we do, because sometimes people, instead of wanting to learn the truth, they just want to defend whatever they have come to believe. And this is why, again, this is an invitation to Young Don and anybody else. Let's have a conversation live. We can do it online. We can do it offline. Instead of just sitting by yourself and spewing out whatever you want, sit down and let's have a conversation. And we'd love to discuss Islam with any of them and give them the true message of Islam. And the rest is in the hands of Allah. It depends if they have true sincerity to find the truth.
Yeah.
They will find it. But the things that we've mentioned from the Bible, from these points, we want everybody. And it doesn't matter if you're famous or not, or if you're a YouTuber or if you're not. I want you to think about these things. Your own instincts, your own heart will tell you that the great creator of the universe, the one that controls everything, the one that made everything, that made me and you, that made everything in the universe and whatever we don't even know and see, is not going to be peeing on himself. Right? He's not going to be hungry. He's not going to be not knowing things. If you are in that state, then you're not the creator of the universe. You know, humans, even prophets, even pious people have needs. We get tired. But Allah never gets tired. What does the Quran tells us? That Allah, slumber does not overtake him. He never gets busy from one thing, unable to handle another thing, right? Humans have these shortcomings. So if somebody has these shortcomings, then they're not God. Mm-hmm. And the one that is God will not have it. He will be all-knowing, all-powerful, all-capable. You know? Some things are beneath his honor, right? Because God is the Most High. But he is all-capable. So if you say somebody is tempted by the devil, then you know that's not God. God can't get tempted, you know? People get tempted, but not God, right? If somebody doesn't know something, then you know that's not God. If somebody's not capable, then you know that's not God. We believe the great creator is above that. We say in Islam, in the Quran, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing that can even be drawn to a comparison with the creator, with Allah. There's nothing. We don't say God is a man. We don't say he's a monkey. We don't say he has a wife and a child and, you know, a girlfriend. And then these are all human relations, right? These are human ideas. We believe the creator is above that. What do we say about God? And this is the message I want everybody to know. We believe in what God has told us about himself, that he is one, that God is above. He is far above our imagination. He is far above us restricting him to being a human being or an animal or a wood carving or a statue. He's above all that. He created everything. He's always been there. He will always be there. He is the owner of the day of judgment. He is the one that the judgment is his. That is God. That is the creator. And that is the one we want you to believe in. That God, that creator, sent us messengers. And the true message of those messengers was that there is only one God. Worship no idol, worship no human, worship no saint, worship just that one God, and follow the prophet of your time. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, absolutely. How could you say that the people of Moses had no idea who Jesus was? They had no idea who the Holy Ghost was. They just knew God, and they had to do good deeds, and they had to do all of that. And then Jesus comes, peace and blessings be upon him, and then the whole game switches. The whole game switches up to now, you don't have to worry about good deeds. Salvation is free. You just believe in Jesus. Does that make sense? You know, I'm going to think back to my early days when I used to go to church and I used to honestly try to grasp the concept that the preachers would be telling us. And they would tell us something. They would tell us that Adam ate from the tree. And this was such a sin that all children are born sinful. They are sinners. Right? Some Christians try to switch that up today, the sinful nature, but this is what we were taught, is that they are sinners. Now think about that. Eddie, you have kids, right? Imagine if you make a mistake. Let's say you run a red light or something. Could I go arrest your son for it?
That'd be unjust, no.
That would. Which court in the world would accept that?
Who does that?
Right? Who does that? If I, as Uthman, let's say I rob a bank. May Allah not make us do such things, but let's say I do. And a court comes and says that we're going to arrest your son, and then whenever you have a grandson, he's going to get arrested, and your great-grandsons, they're all going to be felons. They're going to have felonies on their record because of your crime.
They might do that some in a communist country or something.
Wherever that's done. I don't think any court, I don't think even in a communist country, anybody would accept that as justice. And we believe God is just. And I think all of you watching would believe God is just. So now, in the Christian doctrine, Adam eating from the tree was such a sin that all of mankind is born with the sin. They're born sinful. And how do you get rid of that sin? Is God sends his son, which is also himself, but it's his son. Doesn't make sense there anyway. And then humans torture, betray, put a thorn crown on his head and beat and crucify and kill God or his son, not sure which one, and that gets rid of the sin? Come on. That makes no sense.
It had me thinking when you were saying who would do that. The reason I say communist countries, like when you have certain people, let's say in China, and then they're coming out and speaking of their story, some kind of truth, then they go after their family and whatnot.
Yes, that's true. You know, but think about that.
But this is not, you know,
who would consider that justice?
That's injustice.
Even in China, if somebody robs somebody, I cannot imagine that the Chinese government would say that not just that person, not his kids, but every grandkid, every child forever that comes from that lineage is all going to be criminals? No.
No.
Nobody would consider that just. Now think through this. If I think of it in the terms that I understood growing up, somebody goes into a liquor store, a store, they're not supposed to take something without paying. They take it, they put it in their pocket, they walk out. Adam, eating from the tree.
Yeah.
And they come back as Adam repented. As Muslims, we believe he repented. His repentance was accepted. God is all forgiving. But the Christian doctrine would have it that he came back and he spoke to the owner, God. He's the owner of everything. He said, look, I shouldn't have done it. My bad. my mistake. I want to repent. And God tells him, you can't. You are going to be a sinner. Your children are going to be arrested. Their children are going to have their record. You're going to be born. Everybody's going to be born with that crime on you. Unless my son, which somehow is the owner and his son, but anyway, his son, who was a perfect child, 4.0 student, all A's, never disobeyed his parents, never did anything wrong, never broke, perfect example. I want you, who stole, who did this wrong, to have your kids and your family come and torture him and beat him and kill him. And then we're even Stephen?
Makes no sense. Makes no sense.
You know, I mean, just forget the indoctrination and the slogans and all of that. Just think through that. Does that make sense to you? How could killing God get rid of sin? Huh? Is God suicidal? Was this a suicide mission? It doesn't make any sense.
So if Andrew Tate, Young Don, what's the other guy's name?
Sneeko.
If any, Young Don is a Christian.
Yes.
Andrew Tate says he believes in God. I honestly don't believe, even though he throws up the Trinity, but I honestly don't believe he believes that. But God, Allah knows best. Mm-hmm. We just went over the Trinity and everything. So if he watches this, he can, you know, if he's sincere, he looked into it. And then the other person, Sneeko, is he Christian?
Sneeko's not very religious. Uh-huh. He is kind of learning, and he seems very open-minded. And if he sees this is an invitation. We hope to talk to him. We're not here to indoctrinate anybody. We're just here to answer questions and share our message. So we'd love to have a conversation with him where we explain Islam to him and answer his questions without me being interrupted by Young Don every few minutes. We'd love to have a conversation, and we hope that Allah opens his heart to the truth.
Look, I don't know what kind of question they'd ask, but a lot of times people will throw out some of the same random questions that they've heard others. Mm-hmm. So someone like Andrew Tate says, look, I believe in God.
Excellent.
You know, and I give to the church, and I love God. I go to church twice a week, right? So this is between me and God. What would you say to Andrew Tate?
My message to Andrew Tate there would be that as you believe in God, that's the first step. That's excellent. We also believe in God as Muslims. But what does that mean, you believe in God? Do you believe God has a son? Do you believe God has a Holy Ghost? Do you believe it's in three in one? And if you do, think through that. You know that God is in three. You know that this idea of eternity was developed over time. That wasn't the true message of Jesus. You know that the church is corrupt. I mean, I don't have to explain it to you. You've lived in countries, I think you know better than me, that this system was a political system. Why could priests not get married? The Catholic Church, the Greek Orthodox Church, and the political power that they developed through different tactics. These are ways of corruption. If you go to church and the way you worship, just think about that. Look at that and look at the Bible. Is that the way Jesus prayed? Do you go to church and put your head on the ground and pray to the one Creator? Think about the message of Islam, the belief in one God. The belief that Jesus, Muhammad, Abraham, Moses were all prophets, peace and blessings be upon them. And tell me, doesn't that make sense? And if that does, then don't worry about society. Don't worry about cancel culture. Don't worry about anybody saying anything. Believe in that one God as that God has revealed about himself. That he is one. That he has no partners. That he has no children. He's not born from anybody. And nobody's born from him. If we think about this whole concept of God having a child, and then that being him, it doesn't even make sense. If Mary is the mother of God, how could God impregnate his mother? Does that make any sense to you, Eddie?
It makes no sense.
Andrew Tate, does that make sense to you? Sneeko, Young Don, does that make sense to you? It doesn't make sense.
Sneeko says, look, I'm young. I got time to figure this out.
I would tell Sneeko, go to a graveyard. And this is a personal practice of mine. I don't tell people about it, but I'm going to share. Occasionally, by myself, I go to the graveyard. And I look at those plaques. In the Muslim graveyards, we don't have tombs and things. We have a plaque that has the years the person lived. And check how many people younger than you are in that graveyard. We don't know how much time we have on earth. There is no guarantee that you're going to live to see tomorrow. But there is a guarantee that death is coming. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Allah tells us in the Quran that every soul shall taste death. That's a guarantee. How long you will live, none of us know. How many of your friends have already passed away? I had friends that were 14, 15, 16 that I buried in my teenage days. So don't put things off. You want to be right with God. You want to be on the right path of the true message, because that's the purpose of your creation. The purpose of life is to recognize and worship your Creator. So don't waste time. When you know the message of Islam is the truth, accept it. And it doesn't matter if you're not a YouTuber and you're watching this video and you're on that edge, I want you to take that leap of faith and accept Islam. You know Islam is the truth. You can watch our videos. You can learn about the scientific miracles, the linguistic miracles, the historic miracles, the miracles, the Prophet, peace be upon him. We have a video about the moon splitting, and me and you had done a show about it. But now it's time for you to accept Islam. Don't put it off anymore. You know, reach out to Eddie. We'll do your shahada on the show. You know, accept Islam for your own salvation. Allah doesn't need anybody. We need our Creator. This is, if you become the most powerful, rich, wealthy person in the world, but you don't know the purpose of your creation, you failed.
Wow. We got a few more minutes. I found, have you seen something really simple? I usually tell people, you know, give them this homework. Do you believe that if they are to put aside any intermediaries between them and God, they don't call upon anyone other. Some people confused, some people, you know, what you're saying, it just kind of connect that if they're sincere, it's connecting with their logic, their mind, their heart. It's like, this makes sense. To get out of the confusion, them calling on the Creator alone, with not calling on in the name of Jesus. You know, if someone says, I pray in the name of Jesus, you know, what's wrong with that?
But think about that. How did Jesus pray? Whose name did he pray in? Whose name did Moses pray in? Whose name did Abraham pray in? Look at the Bible. Who prayed in the name of Jesus? I mean, until Paul and the Pauline doctrine, which was after that, Paul, as for those of you that may not know, he never met Jesus. You know, he claimed he had a vision or whatever. I mean, you could eat some mushrooms and see your own visions. I'm not worried about that. But if you look at Saul, which is Paul before his becoming Christian, he used to persecute Christians. If you look at the earlier followers of Jesus, they disputed Paul. They disagreed with him. And today, your Christianity has been set up more by Paul than Jesus.
Wasn't he an early bounty hunter?
He was. He used to torture, kill, fine, massacre Christians. And Jesus lived by the religious code of that time. Circumcision, keeping the Sabbath, and all of that. Paul did away with all that. Why did he do away with it? If it was to be done away with, Jesus would have done away with it. Peace and blessings be upon him. So I want you to go back and think, how did Jesus pray? You know, I was in Tampa recently, and I think there will be a clip posted on our channel soon. We were out with some of the brothers after one of the programs, and this lady came and started singing and dancing and yelling and screaming and saying, I pray in the name of Jesus, and in the name of Jesus, let's bust a dance move, you know. And I told her, look, is that how Jesus prayed? Is this what Jesus taught you? Peace and blessings be upon him. No. Jesus put his head on the ground and prayed. He didn't pray in the name of Jesus. Moses didn't pray in the name of Jesus. Abraham didn't pray in the name of Jesus. Moses, Abraham, Jesus, Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. They prayed to that one God. So pray to that one God directly. Put your head on the ground and ask that God for guidance. Everybody, if you're not Muslim, tonight, I want you to just pray to the one Creator. Say, oh, the Creator of the universe, the one who gave me life, the one that made the universe, guide me to the truth. And open your heart, and you will see Islam is the only truth.
Whoa, there's a lot to digest there, but we end with something very simple. Asking the one Creator of the heavens and earth, via B. Andrew Tate, Sneeko, Young Don, or anyone who's listening, can be a pastor, a preacher, Christian, you know, anybody. And at the end of the day, you know, if somebody wants to continue on their ways, I mean,
we don't force Islam on anybody. Islam is not something that was forced by the sword. Unlike if you look at South America and you look at the Philippines, where the Spanish and others, they forced Christianity on the people. If you look at history, when Palestine, when Jerusalem, Al-Quds, was ruled by the Muslims like Salahuddin Ayyubi, Saladin, as people say. And I just want people to be able to understand. You had churches, you had synagogues, you had Muslims. Everybody was allowed to worship in their way. Whoever wanted to accept Islam could. When Spain, Andalus, was ruled by the Moors, by the Muslims, there were Christians, there were Jews, there were Muslims. Some people converted themselves. They reverted back to their original faith of Islam. Some people didn't. They were allowed to live. when the Spanish Inquisition happened, go look it up, history. The Christians that came with the Inquisition, they came with a sword and they massacred and tortured anybody who was Jewish, Muslim, or a different type of Christian until they didn't leave anybody except what they found to be Christian in their way in Spain. The Spanish Inquisition, Google it, look it up. If you look at the Spaniards that came to South America, they destroyed the native religions and languages and they forced people into Catholicism, not Islam. So we're not forcing anybody. We're bringing you a message of peace, a message of guidance, a message to have inner peace and societal peace, a message of Islam, a message of the one Creator, to believe in Him as all the messengers from Adam to Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon all of them, the message that they brought.
That's it. And just ending with that, it reminded me of an authentic statement from the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, who's describing a house that's missing one brick. Mm. And people are going around this house saying, wow, how beautiful is it? But there's one brick missing. He said, I am that brick.
The last of all the prophets.
The last of the prophets and messengers. Who was sent for Andrew Tate.
Yes.
Sneeko and Young Don Boy.
And for everybody else.
He's the messenger for all of mankind till the end of time.
Till the end, till the day of judgment.
Whoa. This, inshallah, can be a benefit for people who are seeking to know the truth, who are sincere. You broke it down, top 10 reasons why Jesus is not God, Son of God, but He's a mighty messenger, just like Abraham, Moses, and Prophet Muhammad, all of them who brought the same message. Worship the Creator, not the creation. Thank you so much. This is Sheikh
Uthman. My pleasure. Jazakumullahu khairan. We say, may Allah give you the best of reward.
Ameen.
And we hope that everybody watching will really take this message and contemplate it. And if you haven't accepted Islam yet, this is your chance. This is not a coincidence that you're watching this video. The God, the Creator, wrote for you to watch it. So don't waste this chance.
Thank you. Thank you, Shay. Thank you for being with us. And thank you for tuning in. I told you, you don't want to miss these exciting episodes, exciting guests. So make sure you subscribe right now. Hit that notification bell. And we'll see you next time. And look, I have a surprise for you. I can't leave you without a gift. If you want to read the book, the Quran, that goes over the purpose of life, why you're here, why you've been created, talks about Jesus and His Blessed Mother. There's a whole chapter named after her. www.thedeanshow.com. You get your free copy of the Quran sent to you. That's my gift, our gift to you. And we'll see you next time. Make sure you support the Dean Center, where we have the Dean Show in it. And much, much more. We'll see you next time. Until then, the greetings of Jesus and Muhammad and all the messengers. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من بنى لله مسجدا ولو كمفحص قطات بنى الله له بيتا في الجنة. تخيل أن تكون سببا في إنشاء مركز إسلامي في قلب أمريكا بمساحة 35,000 قدم. تخيل أن تكون سببا لأن يسجد الخلق بين يدي الخالق، وأن تكون بتوفيق الله سبباً في تعرف الآلاف على الإسلام ودخول الكثيرين في دين الله. ما أجمل أن تكون لك صدقة جارية يتعلم في ظلها المسلم الجديد مبادئ الدين، ويجد فيها الشباب المسلم بيئة آمنة جاذبة تعينه على الاستمساك بإسلامه. الداعية الأمريكي إيدي هو من يشرف بنفسه على هذا المشروع الدعوي الفريد بعد أن قدم مئات الحلقات وملايين المشاهدات عبر اليوتيوب. خذ من وقتك دقيقتين وساهم بما تستطيع في هذا المشروع العظيم. كن فريدا، عش بفخر في الحياة، لا تبالي فالمعالي. السلام عليكم. Would you like to be part of the first ever mega da'wah center in the US? A 35,000 square foot former church on a 4-acre plot equipped with a masjid, a da'wah center, a TV recording studio, a Dawah outreach program, and much, much more. Over the last decade, one of the most successful and consistent Dawah series has been The Dean Show. And now we want to help our brother Eddie take it to the next level, from The Dean Show to The Dean Center, inshallah, where it's going to be this mega Dawah center in Florida. And we need your help doing so. So please, my brothers and sisters, donate today with whatever you can. And share the khair. Share this link with everyone you know, because everyone who donates through you sharing the link, you're going to get part of the reward as well, inshallah ta'ala. Wa jazakum Allah khairan.